The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, right off the bat, I'm done doing remote broadcasts. I'm just not going to do that anymore. We were at the Lieutenant Governor's office yesterday here in North Carolina, Mark Robinson, which was an awesome interview. But for all of you on radio, you're like, what are you talking about? We were listening to some show from before. That's exactly right, because we had problems getting through the firewall, which is a big problem these days with internet security, getting through the firewall to our little radio device. That's probably about, 8 years old. And so you've got issues there, and I just get totally frustrated. And so we did the interview yesterday on Facebook Live, but not on the radio. So now we pulled the audio. I will turn that into, lo and behold, like, as if by magic, I will turn that into a regular audio version of the radio show. And we'll play that soon for everybody on radio. It was a great interview. Mark Robinson's a blast. Obviously, he's very plain spoken and says what he means. It means what he says. And that was refreshing. So that's what we'll show back up. I've got some traveling coming up. So we'll play the Mark Robinson interview for you, my friends, on the radio for you on Facebook or YouTube. You can watch it on the Facebook Live. Are we going to throw that over on YouTube, Josh? Yeah, we'll throw it up on YouTube as well, and you can check it out. So that's our Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. If you're here in North Carolina, you know who he is, and he's awesome. If you're outside North Carolina, you should probably watch it anyway, because you'll be encouraged, and you'll love the fact that it's an outspoken conservative who loves the Lord, in this case happens to be an African-American, which makes it all the more spicy. So that was yesterday. Okay, so I'm just not doing remotes anymore. You want to be on the show? That's awesome. I want to have you on. Anybody, whoever it is, a good guest, but I'm not coming to you. I didn't do that, by the way, at Mark's behest. That was my idea. But that all blew up in my face yesterday. So no more remotes on the show, either Zoom in, call in, or be here in the studio. So setting that aside, we wanted to do Money Monday, but things keep getting curled around and messed up. So we're going to do a full in the day, and great timing, because there's so much going on. And let me start by just saying, hey, America, congratulations, because you've finally reached that milestone. We passed $30 trillion in debt, $30 trillion with a T, which is, I might as well say 30 gazillion, because that number doesn't mean anything to anybody anyway. It's so big, we have no way to relate to it. So we're going to talk about that. The market yo-yo, I was looking at my own investments today going, okay, the last few weeks hasn't been fun. There's been a lot of red out there. So the market yo-yo, the federal debt, all kinds of things going on that we'll get some help today from our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I want to make sure we get also another throw in news on update with ivermectin and the
yes.
FDA and the government and the National World Organization. Anyway, but I'm yes. good. Thanks for having me on your program. Feeling
you're great. Welcome. Thanks for your flexibility. And yeah, we might go the way of Joe Rogan, and the whole world's going to come after us for telling the truth. So let's tell some truth on ivermectin, which will get us banned on YouTube for the next week. But quite frankly, I don't care. The truth is worth it. So give us an update on that. What's going on with ivermectin and the government?
Well, it's a controversy, obviously, and the big controversy is a horse paste or a drug. It was nominated for a Nobel Prize for humans in 2015. So let's set the record straight. You can Google it. It's right there in black and white. And since then, the World Health Organization has listed as an essential medicine and dosed hundreds of millions of times to humans by doctors. It's only in the last couple of years that this thing's got a bad rap.
Yep.
All because of COVID. But it's starting to have its day in the sun, because there's, you can't push down truth and say it's false when it's truth, because I'm living proof of it. Because if the FDA, why am I sharing this? Why am I on my soapbox? Because my friend who is the instrument who saved mine and Marianne's life, Ed, a listener of your program, Steve, if the FDA would have seized his ivermectin a
yeah.
month before we got it, as him giving some pills to me to save our lives. He's not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. We've given out some pills. because we know it's going to save people's lives. If that would have happened, which is happening now, they just seized his shipment, we'd be dead. I wouldn't be talking on your program. So I'm a little bit livid because the country is wanting to – why are they doing this? Okay, here's the facts. I got them. It's in articles. You can look it up. Call me if you want the article. It's titled, Ivermectin has antiviral effect against Omicron and all other mutant strains of COVID-19. The facts are coming out, which is praise the Lord.
Yes.
Japanese pharmaceutical company Kawa said a week ago Monday the drug Ivermectin has an antiviral effect against Omicron and other COVID-19 variants. The company noted that Ivermectin suppresses the invasion of the virus and inhibits replication. Exactly what I've been saying it did. Yeah. It does. Reuters came out and said they're changing the effective headline as that it is effective against Omicron, and the FDA has refused to respond to the Freedom Information Act, requesting written side effects of ivermectin, which there's only one, a rash, if you take too much. You got to take a lot of it. And they're publicly still denouncing the usage of ivermectin for COVID-19. The federal government pays hospitals across the country. This is why they're not letting it for COVID-19 patients, but the payment is tied to approved methods. And ivermectin is not approved protocol.
Right, right. And so it doesn't make Big Pharma and Fauci and all his friends any money.
No, absolutely right. But 22 countries around the globe has approved the use of ivermectin specifically with COVID-19 based upon multiple studies. The only two countries, major countries, that have not approved it is Japan and the United States.
Jeez.
But the bill is before New Hampshire, pushing for the first state in the country to make ivermectin part as a COVID-19 approved treatment as an offer of medication. So we're making some headway, but it's really an uphill battle.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle. And of course, they set the terms of the deal, and they're all cozy with Pfizer. Pfizer not wanting to release anything with their stupid so-called vaccines. They're not vaccines. For what, 75 years? And now there's another lawsuit against them on that one, trying to get it leaking out quicker. And we just can't get the truth from these people. So forget it. I mean, just blow them off. We go around for the sake of ourselves and our neighbors and our friends like David and Marianne did. And praise the Lord for that. And we're going to keep talking about it. They can boot me off of YouTube and Facebook all they want, but we're still going to keep talking about it. David, thanks for all that information, that update. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to pick it up there with David Fisher. We've got a lot to talk about today. What's going on in the markets? Why the yo-yo? What's going on with the national debt? Just reached $30 trillion. Great job, America. Give yourself a pat on the back. We'll be right back. Okay, back to David Fisher in just a second. We were talking about ivermectin, but I want to just make sure you guys, because our education system stinks. I just want to make sure you understand just some basic definitions, and we'll get back to David and talk about all these. There's major, major things going on in the world of finance and investments, what's going on with the national debt. We're going to get through all of that. But we still use this phraseology, right? The COVID vaccine. What's a vaccine? I'm so glad you asked. A substance used to stimulate the production of antibodies and provide immunity against one or several diseases. Immunity. It provides immunity, huh? If it's a vaccine, it provides immunity by definition, because words mean things. Oh, let's look up immunity. And the ability of an organism to resist a particular infection or toxin by the action of specific antibodies or sensitized white blood cells. Immunity. Protection or exemption from something. Officially granted exemption from legal proceeding. You have immunity from prosecution, which means, guess what, class? They can't prosecute you. You're immune. That means you won't get prosecuted. The COVID vaccines are not vaccines. They're COVID shots that seem to be effective in reducing the severity of COVID symptoms, especially for older people and people with comorbidities. But they are not vaccines. That is a lie. Where's the Consumer Protection Agency when you need them? That's false advertising. Okay, they are. I'm going to call it the COVID shot, the COVID jab, whatever, but it's not a vaccine. So we're going to speak truth and try to use accuracy whenever we can here on the Steve Noble Show. Let's go back to our buddy David Fisher. Sorry, David, I just had to get that off my chest before we go further.
I'm with you, my brother. It infuriates me because we could save so many people from dying. It's a simple cost-effective drug for $50 for a five-day dose, 10-day dose, versus all these other medications that they only get, the hospitals only get paid if they give them out. It's $4,000 or $5,000.
Yep.
I know from example. I've gone to both and tried both, and the first one didn't work, which cost me almost close to $6,000 for the antibody, colonial antibody treatment, and I got ivermectin a week later, and within 24 hours, completely different. Saved us from going to the hospital to get on a ventilator.
Yeah, just amazing. Praise the Lord for that. So keep searching for the truth, and people go, hey, Steve, where do you get your news? I read stuff all over the place. I trust none of it implicitly. I use wisdom and discernment and the power of the Holy Spirit to help me find my way through all the garbage. But remember, everybody, you're being sold all the time, so pay attention. Okay, so we're seeing the market go yo-yo like crazy. I was just saying, I was looking at our own investment stuff over the last 30 days, which is kind of pretty. Not pretty. There's a little more red there than I would like to see. And if you just look at the last month, you're like red, 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 red. And so the yo-yo, but today we're up like, what, 350 points or something. So what's going on with this yo-yo?
So it's the market's trying to dissect what the Fed has announced and what they're getting ready to do in March, which is raising interest rates. The market does not like historically when the Fed raises rates. And so it's having these push-me-pull-you convulsions, and when it gets down to a certain level, it gets down to what you call, I don't want to get all technical, but a support level, like the 200-day moving average, and then it's deciding right then and there, and this has happened quite a few times in January and a couple times in February, if it's going to break down through this 200-day moving average, and if it did, then the market would go into a bear market, go down 20 to 30%, which is, that's what usually happens when it breaks that level. But what has happened is, I'm not a very good trumpet player, the Fed or the government or a whole bunch of investors through hedge funds comes and throws a lot of money in, and then you see the market bounce. This is the yo-yo. So it's trying to determine, but I don't think it's, you know, operating as a market that's not being manipulated. I think there's some manipulation going on here with the ways I just discussed. So it's going to be a bumpy ride. And until the market figures out if the Fed is really truthful, if they're going to raise rates like they said they would four or five times, or three times for sure. And when we all figure that out, probably the market won't like it like before. So that's why just buckle your belt. You know, Facebook lost $232 billion in 2 days. So
couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Sorry to all the Facebook stockholders out there. I might have some myself, but Zuckerberg, good. You know, that's fine. He deserves it.
It's the biggest market collapse in a company stock in the history of the United States.
Wow.
In a one-day movement of a 22% drop here last week in one day, and then it was down the next. So
remarkable.
Don't put all your money in the market right now. Just be careful.
So I mentioned this earlier. Everybody get your hand, put it behind your back, pat yourself on the back, because as an American, we just accomplished a really amazing task. We just passed $30 trillion in debt, the national debt, just passed $30 trillion last week, a major milestone. Does it matter?
The number doesn't matter, but the concept does, because we've surpassed. Well, let's just go back in history here. So it took 245 years for us to get to this place, and there's only been 1 year that the national debt has gone down, 1835. So it's fair to say we're on a spending spree, and if 2008, if the Fed wouldn't have intervened with all the buying of the debt of the country, and if we wouldn't have done all the COVID money, $5 trillion, and all the money and spending, we should be around $17 trillion in debt, looking at a graph of how much the debt has escalated. But we're not there. We're significantly it's almost added double that. Or, you know, it's $13 trillion. So we're on a trajectory course, and now it's some analysts are coming out and said we've breached the threshold where the camel's back has been broken by the straw. Here's a fact. In January 2020, so 2 years ago, before the pandemic, the United States, the Congressional Budget Office, projected that the gross national debt would reach $30 trillion by end of 2025, the end of it. I said on your show a year ago, watch, the debt's going to balloon. And it did.
Yeah.
I said 2 years ago, we're not going to stay within these normal troughs of the debt. We're going to go on a spending spree. So since then, we've added $7 trillion more than the projections by the Congressional Budget Office. We're spending like crazy. I mean, it's the whole central, this whole time, the central banks, Steve, have been saying, hey, we're going to lean against inflation and now and pretend that we're going to take care of it, which they haven't done anything. And politicians have said, we're going to rein in spending. Yet for years, many presidents have promised federal borrowing limits, and nothing continues to happen. But I think now what I'm reading is we're on the other side of this now, and we're living completely on borrowed time.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. So does it get to the point, David, where it's kind of like, you know, you get a credit card, then all of a sudden you jack your credit card all the way up, and then even paying the minimum payments, all you can do, that's got a tiny little bit of principal in there, but mostly it's interest. They know what they're doing, and they're going to sock it to you whenever they can. Can this debt get so big that we can't even afford to pay the interest on it?
Well, the interest right now at a quarter of a point where the Fed is lending at is $330 billion. So that's a third of a trillion. Okay, let's put this into perspective. But everybody's probably heard of the Peterson Foundation, a ultra-conservative foundation. Michael Peterson is the president. He said, because of the $30 trillion, he says, we are already staring down the barrel of 13 additional trillion debt over the next decade and $30 trillion more in 10 years. Jeez. I'll tell you what the CBO says after the break. It's startling.
Yeah, more startling. We're talking to David Fisher. David, I'm going to put you on hold. Talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. And I was telling a bunch of my students today, I was showing them projections, and they're like, what's the deal, Mr. Noble? And I didn't have an answer for them. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. You're ever down the road, you get your first credit card, you're in college, and you jack that bad boy all the way up, and then you're out of, you know, you're out of credit, and then what do you do then? Then if it gets really bad, then you get another credit card, and you use that credit card to pay off the other credit card to get you out of the interest payments there and all that mess. But then you jack the other credit card up, and on and on and on it goes. There are way too many Americans that live like that. We used to be really irresponsible that way and had financial challenges because we just didn't have any self-control. And then we grew up and then other people, but the government itself, that's exactly where we're at. They don't pay any prices. There's no penalty. We just keep electing them. I can't remember who said this. This was years ago. He said, once the people figure out that they can vote for themselves unlimited largesse out of the public treasury, they will continue to vote for people that promise them more and more, which is exactly what we've done. Hey, you're going to give me this. You're going to give me that. Oh, debt relief. Oh, college student debt relief. Oh, hey, low interest loans. Hey, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, that sounds good. Well, we have a moral obligation to make sure every American owns a home because that's the American dream. Yada, yada, yada. And everybody just goes along with it, which is why we're $30 trillion in debt and climbing. And I do not know what to tell my students anymore when I look them in the face because I'm like, listen, when this all collapses, and it will, I'll be in heaven, but you're still going to be here. So you might want to try to wake up and pay attention. Or you're just going to get swept away like this big giant tsunami that's coming your way. And so that's why we talk about these things. And we're so appreciative. Our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. As always, David, thanks for your time as always.
Thank you. So the national debt, according to the Congressional Budget Office, says interest payments over the next three decades, just the interest payment is going to total $60 trillion.
Over the next 30 years.
Just the interest, not the national debt. Of course, they're going to tack that on the national debt because we can't make the interest payment of $330 billion because we spend more than what we take in. So it's just the numbers are so staggering. I got all the reports, though. This is just staggering. And we're not even adding the full look at the national debt on our financial obligations called the unfunded liabilities. You know, all the pensions and the unfunded Social Security and the highway system. Think of Bernie Madoff, which we threw in jail because he did these illegal things. Saying,
Ponzi scheme.
You know, we're going to... I'm sorry?
It's a Ponzi scheme. The whole thing's a Ponzi scheme.
We're doing the same thing. We're doing the same thing that WorldCom Wireless did as a country where we have this debt off in the balance books that we don't talk about, let everybody really know what they are, and WorldCom Wireless collapsed. But the United States is doing the very exact same thing that Bernie Madoff and WorldCom Wireless are doing, both of them, which are two different things. So the reality is people are starting to wake up, and they're saying now that inflation is coming, because if the Fed raises rates three times this year, that is going to be the interest payment of $1 trillion on the national debt, and where they should have the rate is about 5%, because the CPI, the real inflation number, is 7%, and it's going to be 7.3% this Thursday, when they announce it, which I said is going to go up, and watch, it will probably be somewhere there. So we should have 5%. If we had a 5% interest rate payment, which is realistically where it should be, we would be at $4 trillion of interest payment. I'm telling you, this is why the Fed does not want to raise rates, because it will cause a financial calamity like never before.
Man.
So I think we're going to see two or three interest rate hikes. The market will not like that. The Fed will back away, come up with a different way, because they can't. We as a country cannot handle the payments. We're not taking enough revenue, and we already have a $2 trillion budget deficit. So anyway, that's where we're headed, and the brick wall is soon in our sight now.
Yeah, just brutal. And so Federal Reserve just scrapping away, trying to keep the house of cards from collapsing, because they know that you know, what happens to the society, what happens to the culture at large in America if they actually start to figure it out? If they get truly woke to what's going on here, what kind of price would they pay? What would people do? I mean, is it going to be like Canada and we're just going to flood the streets? I mean, it would be crazy. So the Federal Reserve, though, this is really interesting, and I'm a little bit more than halfway through Glenn Beck's new book on the Great Reset, which I've done several shows about it myself. But he talked about this next point, that the Federal Reserve's making an announcement on digital currency. Why does the Federal Reserve want to get into digital currency, David? That seems a little convenient for them.
Because cryptocurrency is becoming the wave of currency future, possibly, which it won't be, as I'll talk about that in a second. And so the Fed doesn't want to be left behind, as they say. So the Fed is saying, okay, China's already done this. Russia's talking about doing this. ECB has said we might do it. And other countries are moving, like El Salvador, moving towards using Bitcoin as a alternative currency. The Federal Reserve is saying, let's get involved in this. And so they put out two weeks ago a report on it called the Federal Reserve, Money and Payments, the U.S. Dollar in the Age of Digital Transformation. And in essence, they're saying that they are moving close to releasing this, all because of cryptocurrencies. And the United States is not the first nation. China has already developed theirs, like I said, in the yuan, and that happened in 2014, but they finally released it fully here a year ago. Russia's is going to launch theirs this year, they said, in the ruble digital currency, Central America, Salvador. But there's a passage of a bipartisan infrastructure deal that's introducing restrictions in the cryptocurrencies, but there also has to be an approval for a Fed digital currency under the Biden administration, which they're entertaining this idea as a good idea. So we have to have a vote on it. So I hope the vote doesn't go through. But I can tell you this, the IRS, as I said, it's going to come down on cryptocurrencies. It's all on CNBC here this week again. There's a special internal revenue movement towards cryptocurrencies. $3.5 billion was seized in cryptocurrencies in 2021. That's 93% of all seizures by the IRS was done in cryptocurrencies for criminal investigation seizures, illegal crimes, not paying taxes, things like that. So the IRS, the government, whatever you want to call them, they're involved in this thing, and they want to make sure if we're going to get out a digital currency, it's going to be the Fed's.
Yeah, and the thing about it, and again, I'm more than halfway through Glenn Beck's new book on the Great Reset. When you look at the Federal Reserve, the federal government getting into a digital currency, here's what you have to understand. It's just like everything else we do online. David, when you get a new app on your phone and you say, you know, here's the terms and conditions, you're like, yeah, I agree. And then you give them access to all your information so they can follow you around. So you look up a new golf club, and the next thing you know, every single website you go to, you're seeing an ad for a golf club. And so they can monitor. So imagine this, the federal government tries to get us to replace a regular currency with a digital currency. Every single thing you do, every single dollar you spend, every incoming dollar, whatever you do, they're tracking it. So all of a sudden, if the government has the ability to control that source, because it's a federal digital currency. Then you get to this, you know, most people don't even know what ESG scores are. That's environment, social, and governance. That's where you come in and start giving companies a score based on how you're doing in terms of, like, what's the diversity like there? And what are you doing for the environment? And what kind of governance do you have? What kind of people are you hiring? Do you have enough people of color in your business? All this kind of stuff. So all of a sudden, you could have the federal government, who now are all using their digital currency, and they're like, oh, Mr. Noble, I see you are applying for a home loan. Unfortunately, your ESG score is very low, and we can't extend you any credit. That's where this stuff goes. And this sounds like crazy conspiracy talk, but this is the reality of the digital world. And most people, I think, David, hear that and just go, oh, man, Steve's sounding like Glenn Beck. No, this is reality. This stuff is real. I don't know that people understand that.
There's a lot of things that I'm so glad that you talk about. Things that are not, you know, you're not going to hear on mainstream like CNN or Bloomberg News, although Bloomberg News is starting to get with it, because some of the information I talk about I've been getting from Bloomberg News, which is kind of a shock. But you're exactly right. I mean, here's one for you. The IRS was trying to implement that you got to take a picture of yourself and send it through to them to a portal so you can view your tax account online, access the tax your taxes online. So, yeah, this is where we're going. We're losing our privacy, and we're the government, through IRS and other mechanisms, is gaining more control. It is a sign of the times, and that's why they're wanting to introduce this digital currency, because they can devalue it just through a stroke of pen, or a stroke of keys
right.
on keyboards.
Yeah,
now,
just a keyboard. That's right. And you brought up modern monetary theory before, MMT, and that's where and the people at the Great Reset are like, hey, debt doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is inflation. And even taxes don't matter. We just use taxes to control people's behavior.
Yeah,
but exactly. Debt doesn't matter, because as long as the government controls its currency, then we can just print more. This is exactly what we're doing in the United States. And it's shocking. You can see all this stuff out into the future because we have the technology and the wherewithal now. And the desire is building. And as the debt situation, not just here in America, but around the world, gets worse, that's where sooner or later, this, because we've been clamoring for a savior for a few thousand years, people are like, who's going to help us? Who's going to help us? And they're like, oh, we've got a new idea. We can reset the whole thing. And here's how this is going to work. And we'll use digital currency. And everybody's like, oh, thank you, Lord. This is the devil masquerading as an angel of light. But you're a believer, David. You're a follower of Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. We know how this ultimately ends. And in that regard, I don't have to worry about any of it, except for our kids and our neighbors. So we're going to keep talking about that. What do we do about all this? How do we prepare ourselves? What can we possibly do about the onslaught of all this craziness? Talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. We'll talk about that as soon as we come back. Here we go. You may think it's February 8, 2021, but it's more like, I don't know, 1984. Seems like 1984. Feels like 1984. I'm not talking about the actual year that we already lived and survived and went through. Pretty good music in 1984. Graduated from high school in 1984. That's kind of sad, isn't it? So there's that. No, we're talking about George Orwell, actually. And so if you've never read anything about George Orwell, you need to do that. You need to get clued in to that, as it's prophetic at this point. Really amazing, some of the things that he said. And I shared an Orwell quote the other day on Facebook, which lowered my ESG score, as if I care. And so that's, you have to pay attention. You have to be thinking a little more deeply than just the news of the day or your own. Most of us live pretty myopic lives, right? We pretty much just pay attention to our little world and our bills and our family and stuff, and that's all great. But there's a lot more going on that's going to affect our neighbors and our children for generations. And the question is, what are we doing about that? Are we paying attention? Like what you're seeing happening with Joe Rogan right now is all part of it. Orwell said this, "Truth is treason in an empire of lies." Just think about that for a second. Truth. We're going to go back to David Fisher. He was talking about ivermectin, which saved he and his wife. This literally saved their lives. Okay. Truth is treason in an empire of lies. Do you live in an empire of lies? You do. We live in an empire of lies, especially the last 2 years. 2020, 2021. Now it's 2022. Especially the last 2 years. An empire of lies here in America. From the federal government on down. And, I voted for Trump twice, but he was just a fool, not knowing what was actually going on around him, trying to keep a million people from dying. And he just went with it Fauci and Birx and all that stuff. He just kind of got caught up in it. That wasn't his forte. And they just basically rolled him and rolled over him and rolled around him. Okay? Truth is treason in an empire of lies. You live in an empire of lies, so when you tell the truth, that to them, that's treason. Which is why Joe Rogan's public enemy number one all of a sudden. They're talking about things that he said 10 years ago and misused the N-word, stuff like that, because he's speaking the truth and he's giving his enormous platform to people who are speaking truth, like Dr. McCullough and Dr. Malone, and so they got to destroy him. Because you live in an empire of lies where truth is treason. And what do? To traitors? We kill them. I.e., digitally speaking, we cancel them, which is exactly what's happening to Joe Rogan. And, you know, I see Facebook dial down my numbers on Facebook and whatever. I don't answer to any of these people. I answer to the Lord. So we're going to continue to tell the truth no matter what it costs us, because one day I'll be in paradise with my Lord and Savior and none of this stuff will matter anymore. And eventually his kingdom will come back to earth and he'll settle all accounts and that'll be awesome. I won't be laughing on that day because there's a whole lot of people that are going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I'm not going to delight in that. But that day is coming. Okay, so remember that. Make sure you're building your house on that rock and not on the sand. David, wow, I'm all over the place today. Thanks for being here, bro.
You're absolutely right. The truth will set us free. And amen. What our country should do is tell the truth and say, here's what our real full debt is. It's $160 trillion, not $30 trillion. We should tell the truth and say, there's no way in God's green earth that we can pay this back. Not even there's no miracle financially, only the intervention of the Lord, and the Lord's not going to intervene in the debt in that capacity, I don't think. I mean, I would love it to happen, but Scripture's shown he's never done that financially. So, so let's tell the truth as a country, but they won't. They would rather be dishonest in saying the debt is not a big deal. Yep. We're just going to see if we have inflation, and they're untruthful about that, the Fed is. And so the plan is if I could say, here's what I think the plan is. Fed will raise rates 3 or 4 times, enough to not really crash the stock market, but enough to say we're doing something about it, but really do nothing about it, and they're going to let inflation run. And that's is the dishonest way of dealing with this debt. Yeah. That's where it affects the middle income and the lower income person the greatest. And
they get crushed.
This is why there will be this. They're going to get crushed. That's why this reset is coming, and that's going to be a painful process. Glenn Beck is exactly right, and there's dozens, if not hundreds, of people, billionaires and economists, are saying the great reset is not the next generation away. It's now. It's coming.
They want it
and
now.
And so this is why we talk about precious metals. It's not the only solution. It's a piece of the pie of the solution.
Right.
And that's why we say diversification. But there is a big movement. States are waking up, Steve, towards having precious metals in the state.
Yeah, I was going to. Yeah, you sent me a note about that, which is I've never heard that. Tell us about that, because that's just wild.
So in Ohio, Arkansas, West Virginia, Wyoming, Louisiana, and Arizona, they already have taken away the taxes on when you buy or sell gold or silver. Of course, if you buy from a national company from us, there's no taxes because you're buying national.
Right.
But several states, Ohio recently followed Texas, making an allocation. It's public pensions, along with New Hampshire and Oklahoma, Wyoming, and Idaho are also examining legislation right now to empower the state treasurer in those states to hold physical gold and silver in their reserves. Because the states that have already done this, they found out that it brings stability in this environment where all their money is either in treasuries or bonds. Idaho right now, House Bill 522, Oklahoma House Bill 3681, would permit but not require the treasurer to hold a portion of funds in physical gold and silver against the risk of inflation, financial turmoil, and debt default. This is So think with me. The government won't do this. The government won't even tell us how much gold is in Fort Knox. The states are seeing the big problem with the dollar. Hedge fund managers are seeing the big problem with the dollar. People are waking up. because this is going to turn into a great reset and cause a huge problem. And the states want to make sure they have a hedge against, because we have negative rates, 7% inflation. The banks are paying a quarter of a point, half a point. That's negative. So they have to hedge themselves, and that's why they're saying gold is going to make a move indirectly. Otherwise, they wouldn't be buying it. And they're not putting all their money. They're putting a portion of it, just like every wise and prudent investor should think about. So this is a, this woke me up. It's like, wow, there's the states are moving this direction now. And of course, Texas, a big college fund, put a couple billion dollars here about 15 years ago in gold and silver and did real well. So I'm going to watch the trend. We'll keep our listeners up to date on this, but that's the new thing that's coming out.
Well, that's the I love hearing that, because that's how our Constitution wanted it to be laid out, is the states have a right to take care of themselves, and they know the federal government isn't going to do it, so they're trying to shore up their own defenses. They go, okay, you guys can go down with the ship, but we're not going to. So that's very encouraging to hear that. So we're not state people. We don't run governments. We're just little folks out here with a little money here and there. Some of us have a little more than others. So how do we kind of approach this, Dave? I mean, I know one day we're out of here. Okay, that's great, but we have to live in the here and the now at this point. So just help us to understand, what do we do in this environment of instability? The government's just crazy and insane. They're not going to do anything that's ultimately going to help us. What do we do to help ourselves and to help our kids and to just help our bottom line?
Stewardship. That's all this is about, the parable of the talents. Steward, like you've done through our company and many others of your listeners and I've done, put a portion of your money into precious metals. Not all your money. Don't have any of all your money in any one asset class. That's not being a wise and prudent steward, because the Bible says a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. So roll over some money out of your IRA and into another IRA with no taxes, and buy some physical gold and silver or over the counter, and you can roll over 401k funds. We can, call my company and learn about this, so that if they do the bail-in, they can't access 100% of your money. Yeah. If they do what I think they're going to do, that plus inflation, gold went up 500% from 1975 to 1980, silver double that, and the Dow went down 3% during the period of time. So stocks are not good asset preservation of wealth during high inflationary times, and that looks like that's the choice where the Fed is taking us.
Yeah.
So this is why, call my company, learn about this. There's no pressure. We're all about encouraging you and giving you wisdom and knowledge, and therefore you can make the decision what is best for you and how the Lord will guide you to do this or not.
Which is exactly what we should have done with COVID the whole time. Here's the information. You make your decisions and what's best for you and your family, given your circumstances. And that's such an important thing. Becky on Facebook Live, David, what a profound question. Is the government trying to destroy us economically? Is this part of the Great Reset? Yeah, I think all the people that are on board with the Great Reset, which would include Joe Biden. And you look at the things like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the new Green Deal. Once they tried to figure out what that would cost the country, it was $90 trillion. Okay. $90 trillion over the time of implementation. You go, they want it to train wreck, because then they get to usher in what they think is the solution, which is the Great Reset. And there's a growing number of government officials, certainly corporate elites, think tanks, people like that, the World Economic Forum. Yeah, that's why they're not losing their minds about it, because eventually they're thinking this is the pot at the end of this rainbow is our control and our worldview. I mean, this is exactly what's going on. It sounds psycho, but that's exactly what's happening. But people, and I appreciate you saying that, David, what you guys want to do is encourage and educate and empower people. How can they take that step? What do they need to do?
Look, give us a call the old-fashioned way, 844-604-2575. I'll say it again. This is not an infomercial, but 844-604-2575, or go to the website landmarkgold.com.
As always, thank you so much for all your work and your study and bringing that to us, David, to help us understand what's going on in the world around us. It's all about stewardship. And as David said, they would love to help educate you and empower you. The decision is yours, which is the way we should have been playing COVID the whole time. But that's the way David and his wife run their business, and we thank God for that. David, I love you, my friend. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you real soon.
Love you too, my brother. You're always in my prayers.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon. Thank you. God bless you. That was David Fisher, our good friend, landmarkgold.com. As always, this is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.